Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, the internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be. We're in for another great episode of Free on the Inside. We have a guest on the line. He's in our virtual studio. He's queued up. But before we go any further, we'd like to give you that call-in number. That number is 310-982-4126. It's my number that you can make an arrangement to be a guest on the program. Our call-in number is at 310-982-4126. Again, that call-in number is for you, too, to lend your voice to this show and ask our guests some questions regarding what God has put to his hands to do. That number, again, is 310-982-4126. And I would like to just say our show is on every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. We have great guests each and every Saturday morning, and we'll continue that format this morning. Our guest on the line this morning is Mr. Christopher Holmes. He's an urban entrepreneur. He has published three books of poetry. One book is 100 Testimonies of a Young Soul, Just Another Voice, and his recent publishing is A Step to Manhood. He also is pushing his upcoming business as Soul Production Enterprise while pursuing his bachelor BBA at business school at Sam Houston College University. And so without any further delay, the next voice you'll hear will be our guest on the line this morning. Good morning, Christopher. You're on the net.
Good morning.
Welcome to our program. I'm so honored to have you on.
This is a fantastic moment. You know, I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Man, I was reading your bio, brother. You've been busy, man. You've been busy, but yet you still have time to do the thing that you enjoy doing, and that's writing, man. So please introduce yourself to our listening audience and tell us about the gifting that God has blessed you with and how you're willing to share it with the world.
As you said before, my name is Chris Holmes. I published three books. I actually graduated from Sam Houston State University last year in August. I love the passion of just writing poetry, I'm starting up a little motivational speaking and just encouraging people that no matter what obstacle that you may face, that the sky's the limit. You just got to have that faith and take that leap of faith because anything is possible.
Oh, that's possible. That's so true, brother. I love that you say anything is possible, brother. And I love that, man, because sometimes people don't have no hope. Some people just feel like that just all hope is gone and that's, you know, this is all it is to it. But you proven it, brother. You proven it by what you're doing. Now tell us about your first publishing there, 100 Testimonies. I like that, brother, because sometimes a person just got one testimony, but yet you had some more to encourage everybody.
Yes. 100 Testimonies of a Young Soul was actually written my senior year in high school. I just felt like every poem that I made would make an impact on somebody or encourage somebody. So I took my perspective and wrote it into a poetry form to encourage others and to just be that outlook. And I got a lot of encouragement from my classmates to start off a little small, you know, just trying out new things, seeing like what kind of feedback. But people like my classmates, my teachers encouraged me to keep writing and then just like kept going from there.
And you know, and as you were saying that about your peers, you know, sometimes you get the peer pressure and say, hey, Chris, don't nobody want to read your writing. Your stuff is blank, man. Your stuff ain't no good. So how do you get around those things, though? Because you're young, man. You know, and a lot of times we want to be accepted, but yet you continually to do the things that God put to your heart to do.
If anything, I just use that negative energy into a positive. I mean, you're going to always get it's this old saying, like, you can't make everyone happy. But if one thing I will say is, like, any kind of negative feedback, use it to your advantage. Use that to the point where it's like, okay, I'm going to prove you wrong. Or, okay, you say I can't do this, watch me. Or, like, you got to know what your full potential is. They may not see it at first, but eventually through actions and execution and commitment, you know, the world and everybody else will see what you're really about.
Now, Chris, tell us now, when did you really start realizing that you had this to write? You said you read something in high school, but yet it was before the end, but yet you just worked on it. So what was the earliest remembrance of you being able to put stuff on paper?
Our earliest moments was like, actually came back from one of my favorite artists in the past, is Tupac and Shakur. And one of his books that he published was The Rose That Grew From a Concrete. He had a lot of different poetry forms and inside deep perspectives about that. And I just got encouraged from his writing to say, okay, let me share my own perspective in the poetic form and try to inspire and encourage others.
Oh, that is so true, that brother. And I seem like that you say you have some mentors that are helping you and that's encouraging you along the way.
Mostly, of course, I've got family, classmates, and then strongly influenced from my grandparents, which is like, you know, a strong foundation and keeping that positive outlook on life.
All right, right. That's good. Hey, I want to ask you something before we get too far in our interview here. Now, how can someone pick up some of your writing and some of your publishing now before we let you get away? We're going to ask you this again, but I wanted to get this out now.
Actually, all three of my books is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You just got to type my name, Chris Holmes, and then the title of the book. So, for example, it would be Chris Holmes, Steps to Manhood, and it would show up. Even if you Google it just like that, it will automatically pull up. So just search that in Google. And also I have it available on my website as well.
All right. That sounds good then. Now tell us about some the other book that you had. I like that one right there. It says that what's that, The Voices of a Young Black Man?
Just Another Black Voice. Just Another Black Voice was written during the time like my sophomore and junior year in college where we had the Trayvon Martin. There was a lot of unrest in like in the social life, especially when it came to African Americans and American society. So like my view was trying to give an outlook of our perspective and show to others that we're just like everybody else and that we deserve to have equal treatment and stop looking at us like as a threat. I feel like we got to overcome the stereotypes that have been put on us through time and progress into that new mindset and become more open-minded.
Now, how did that book go over? Because, you know, these are some trying times, difficult times now. Was that book well-received, or did you have some drawback on it, or how did that go?
Surprisingly, it was actually well-achieved. It's like, because I understood where I was coming from. I wasn't too pushy or anything like that. It was me giving my perspective in writing. I had a lot of supports, of course, most of them from African Americans, but not only African Americans, white as well. That makes a surprise to people, but there's actually whites out there that actually listen to us and then try to understand. And that's what we all want to is like have an understanding with each other and be able to communicate with these kind of issues that's affecting everybody throughout society.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I'm glad you said that. Now, you know, as I have your posting on our Facebook page there, and I see that you have a lot of things going on here. Tell us about some of the upcoming projects that you have going on right at this moment.
Ooh, so I, of course, I love doing photography. I view it as an art form. I like form. I like to capture different moments and be creative and initiative about that. Of course, I'm a poet as well. I try to go to different events, Houston and the Engine Room, or any kind of available events I may come up to. Motivational speaking. Last year, I was a guest speaker in the Williams-Conroe area, speaking in front of that, and just much more. It's like whatever God puts on me, I just try my best at it and just shoot for it. I don't want to put a limit on myself because I always try my best, and there may be another level that I can't attain if I push hard for it.
All right, all right. Now, I'm looking at your posting here on your website here, and this here, Step Into Manhood. Let's talk about that for a moment. I do juvenile ministry. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready to go over there in a few hours, and our young men are at the verge of manhood. They're a child, but yet they're doing adult things to get them incarcerated. What are some of the things that you are aware of that our young men are kind of dismissing? Maybe something that encouraged them.
One thing I will say is, like, do not be afraid to be yourself. I feel like a lot of times, especially in this time with technology, trends, of course, are popular, but you cannot be afraid to be yourself. Know your foundation. Know what's right and wrong. Be that one to stand firm what you believe on and do what's right. You may face a lot of criticism in the beginning, maybe coming really close from friends or even family members, but in the end, if you stay true to your values and know that what you're doing is right, they will respect you for doing that. And sometimes you have to stand your ground, and then that just makes you even stronger, and then well respected in the end.
All right, great. We'll listen to Chris Holmes. He's an author, he's a poet, and he's a publisher. And also, you can call in the numbers 310-982-4126 and voice your thoughts and comments regarding what he just shared with us. He's sharing his books that he had published and upcoming events. So we want to thank him for being a guest on the program. Now, Chris, as I'm reflecting back on some of the things that you said, some young men have many challenges. You know, what are some of the keys to keep you rooted and grounded? Because, you know, a lot of times people don't want to wait. And you're a young man. You know, you have the world in your hands, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Because you're able to do a lot of things that we're not even aware of with the internet and social media and things of that nature, but yet you're still rooted and grounded. How do you manage to stay stable in a chaotic world?
One thing I will say is always keep an open mind and just listen for different feedback. But most important thing is you got to have faith in yourself and what you can do, and surround yourself with people that's doing great things or even better things, because the people that you surround you pretty much will project where your life will come. So if you surround yourself with greatness, people achieving great things, impacting community, and doing all this great, fantastic things, even building wealth, those traits will eventually trickle down into you, into your lifestyle, in which you can make an influence to the people in your community. Now, if you surround yourself with negativity, people that's not encouraged, people that's always down and things like that, nothing against those, but like if you surround yourself with that circle of people, that energy will drain you down. You got to keep yourself positive, especially in these times and days, because you've got to have that energy to overcome obstacles. If you have positive energy, you can overcome any boundaries that you may come up front.
Very well put that. Now, you know what, as you were sharing that, I was just thinking, a lot of times it's our drawback that once we start wanting to work on projects and want to do some things, people around us, the one that should be encouraging us or telling us to be quiet, you can't do this, you can't do that. But I recall of a scripture as you were sharing that, it was a man that Jesus encountered named Blind Bartimaeus, and he heard that Jesus was coming to town, and he positioned himself to where Jesus would. I got to think of where you were sharing that you have to position yourself to be great. You have to be in a position of be around people that's going to propel you into your goals and your desires, you know. And they said that this man was there and people telling him to be quiet, stop it, it don't take all that. But you said no. You said no, regardless of what people are saying around me and about me, I'm going to keep going forward. And I'm glad to hear you say that, because we need to hear that from our young people.
Yes, I strongly agree. If anything, it's like I was saying, it's like the storms that you may face in your lifetime, you don't allow those to break you, but to make you stronger. You've got to stay strong in this world and progress forward. And so any kind of criticism or downfall you may face, even from close ones, you cannot let that drain you. I mean, just imagine the people, like, for example, Walt Disney, famous authors or seniors or anybody who pretty much made it big in this world, if they were to listen to the criticism that they received, they probably wouldn't be known at all today. But they used that and they said, you know what, you may think this of me, but I know who I am. I know the true value of myself. I know what I can do and I know what can be obtained. And you got to believe and protect that at all times.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. And along that the Bible portion I was sharing with you, I was just thinking about the man. Jesus said, come, call him over there. And they said, that man let something go. You know, Chris, we have to let things go to be successful. Sometimes it takes friends. Sometimes it takes a different lifestyle. So we have to let some things go. And I'm glad to see that you have the boldness to pursue those things. You let some things go because you could be out, you know, enjoying life. But yet you decide to sit down behind a desk or at a park or wherever it may be and just be creative and write something, and something that's going to change people's lives. You know, our theme of our program is saying help change a life. And by your writing and your publishing, you're changing lives, man. I want
yes,
you to know that.
And I'm glad, too. I got a lot of feedback from people encouraging me to keep doing the things I do. And I want to piggyback on what you said earlier about, like, sometimes you got to let people go, even if it's, like, friends or family members. That was pretty much I remember Joel Osteen mentioning that. It's like, I may paraphrase strongly, but if you want to, like, flock with eagles, you got to surround yourself with, like, you know, a lot of eagles, people want to obtain that destination. So, like, they may not be with your energy at that moment, but they may be in your energy in the future, or they may be something that you need to let go to receive the blessings that you need in the future. So that's all a part of life. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, it gets better throughout time, but sometimes you just got to let things go and just believe that you're doing the right decision.
That is so true. I like to say, let go and let God. You know, I do ministry, brother. I go to the jail, to the prison, and I share with those men to let go and let God, because the thing that we're pursuing, sometimes those things, that they're not doing us any good. You know, we keep pursuing those things that ain't doing us no good. So it takes a wise man to say, wait a minute, I need to redirect this, man. And I thank you, brother, for you being a young man. You know, you are able to go out and you share your gifting with other people, and they say, hey, I could do this. Now, we spoke earlier about publishing. We realize that sometimes people feel like they ain't got the money. Someone may be saying, I want to do that, Chris, but I don't know how. I don't have the resources. Could you tell us how you went about publishing not only one book, but three, or having them published?
One thing I want to start off with is, like, keep in mind, this is the internet age. There's a lot of information out there, and use your resources. Like, you never know who may know another author that can tie in different information. But one thing, the main thing is Google. A lot of people have this misconception that you need a lot of money up front to become a published author. That is not the case. Of course, you do have big publishing companies. You have agents that you can go through, but you don't always have to go through them. You can actually publish your book on your own by yourself. I mean, you have amazing resources through Amazon. You have Lulu. You have Author House. Like, there's a whole lot of different options that you can do. You just got to find what is your preference. And then on top of that, I'm starting up a new thing where people can, like, if they want to book seminars, they can, like, book one-on-one sessions where I research in depth on, like, your goals and target marketplace and things like that, and try to reach you to your destination that you want to do. But the main thing is, like, the resources are available. Don't let your thoughts, like, it can't be attained, it's too expensive. Those kind of thoughts, if anything, slow you down. Anything is possible.
And you know what? Well, that's good to know, because we have people that, you know, that wants to be able to do these type of things, for publish a book or magazine or whatever it may be, an article, and they just feel like that it takes a lot of money. But you just gave us some insight on that, you know, to be cost effective and to just search around. Networking is what I hear you saying.
Yes.
There's a lot of networking involved. Now, Chris, we're getting ready to get out of here, man. But before we go, you know, I'm loving this interview here, man, because there's so many things that we could just share, like, one-on-one. But we shared our conversation with the entire country here. You know, I love this. I love it. But I wanted to talk to you about rejection, because, you know, you had several books published. But, yet sometimes they say, hey, this book isn't what we're looking for, isn't what what our audience desires. How do you go about pushing on? Because some people go, first time they go out and get a book review, they're going to get a rejection. How do you go about doing that? Encourage us.
Yes, and I understand, especially when it comes to writing the book, that's a very important piece. You feel like you put your life out there for the people, and then if you face rejection, you don't feel like why, or you may be offended. But one thing that I learned, of course, like through my college career, is that when it comes to, like, publishing a book, it's like, of course, you're a piece of art, but it's also like a business as well. So you can't always allow feedback to affect you personally. If anything, just listen to the feedback and see, like, okay, I don't like this, or like, okay, he does have a point, and just help that mold you to a better writer or things, so that may even obtain a bigger audience. Never let, like I said previously, like any kind of rejection bring you down. If anything, use that to push you forward, but also just listen to their feedback, because they can give you hints of what you're going to do to make your writing even that much better for the world to hear.
And that's so true. You know, that's what I do. I use feedback in a negative fashion, even when it's not negative towards me. I say, okay, maybe there's some things I need to do, you know, and just adjust myself. But if it's, but if it's for you, brother, it's for you. You know, we like to say, if God be for me, who could be against me? But do you really believe that? Are you willing to stop because of the naysayer? If God is in it, you're going to be victorious. And I hear that in your voice. Now, before I let you go, you know, I would like for you to share, if you have a desire, some of your poetry with us this morning, because we want to continue to honor February, which is designated as Black History Month. So if you have anything that you can share with us, we would surely appreciate it.
Yes, of course. Actually, it's written this one recently. It's titled Be Proud. Okay. Be Proud. When God created you, it was no mistake. Your scars, your voice, your shape, and all your imperfections. Be proud. Black, white, brown, blue, yellow, it doesn't matter. Beauty is captured in the eyes. Our style is unique to our roots, from our hair, attitude, skills, charisma, creativity, and down to the depths of our history. Be proud. Your mother did not raise no fool. She blessed you with a gift that has been molded in God's hands, free to wander the land where there is endless possibilities and doorways waiting to be opened with the key of faith, leaving fear to be nothing but a distant memory with that giant leap of faith. Be proud. Differences is not to be shown as an armed weapon to appear in the eyes of a threat. Differences is meant to be a branch that binds two different worlds together as one, a bond so strong that no season shall shake the foundation, neither spring, fall, winter, or summer. Be proud. Let there be no limitation. Let your wings help soar you to possibilities that were not thought possible or even thought that you could obtain. Fly out. Let not fear of others or the weight be prevent you from reaching your destination to reach that far above. Be proud of your name, your family name, your successes, your scars, whatever molds you, your mother, your father, your brothers, and most importantly, yourself. Be proud.
All right, all right. You had just listened to the smooth poetry of Chris Holmes, Be Proud. He's our guest this morning on Free on the Inside. Chris, thank you very much. What a beautiful poem there, brother. What a beautiful poem. And
thank
again,
you.
Where can we pick up some of your literature?
Of course, you can find any of my literature on Amazon, on Moore's, on Noble Online, or you can just check out my website at www.yourvoiceissoulproductions.com. That provides all the information and things that I stay on the move. And again, you can check out any of my books on Amazon and Barnes & Noble Online for order.
Well, great. We do have a posting on our Facebook page. Now, do you have any events coming up here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? So if someone hears your voice and they just want to come out and talk to you, maybe even have you sign one of their books that they purchased.
Actually, I'm planning out some things, but I will say I am going to be on another radio show on in the Dallas area for the I think it's the Authors Lounge on April 18th. So I'll be posting more stuff about that when it comes closer, and of course any more future events. But I will be in the Dallas area for that radio interview.
Well, great, great. We're looking forward to meeting you in person. You know, this is an internet program, so a lot of times we don't get to see our artists in person. But it's great, though, because that means that your gift is being shared all over the country. And so that's great.
Yes, sure.
So someone is going, they're going to hear you before they even get to see you. And then they say, wow, you know, I can put it together. I can put a face with the voice. And so thank you once again for what you're doing. And please be mindful of our internet program. You have a voice at each and every chance that you would like, okay? So just feel free to give us a call. We would love to continually to put you out front, continue to let people know about your gifting. And if you and when you do your new publishing, just have us link to your site, and that way we can keep up with what you're doing.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm grateful for the opportunities and any other opportunities that may come in my pathway in life.
All right, God bless you. Looking forward to hearing great things from you and what you're doing.
Yes,
so have
sir.
A good day. All right, God bless you.
Amen.
Yeah. What a great interview that we had there with Mr. Chris Holmes here, an up-and-coming publisher, a writer, a young man that is very gifted and talented. We want to thank him for sharing his poetry with us. you know, amen, to be strong. That was a beautiful poem there. And then we have a couple of guests on the line this morning that just wants to just say hello, and we want to continually to go with, forth with this program. We have a few poems from that we're going to share with for Black History. And so we're going to share that in just a few minutes. The call-in number again is 310-982-4126. Amen. And then we have Mr. Daniels on the line this morning. Good morning, Mr. Daniels. You're on the net.
Good morning. Good morning, Reverend Lewis. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Oh, man, what a great interview that we had that with Christopher Holmes there, man. Very gifted young man now. He's no longer on the line, but so we want to thank him for what he's doing. Now, Brother Dan, you got a poem for us this morning?
Yeah, I got a poem.
And afterwards, we got something else that we're going to play, something very special. So go right ahead, sir.
Okay, you know, like you told me last week, we're going to try to have one person that's in the Black History Month. We're going to try to, you know, give them kind of like a biography of them, tell them about how they put a lot into life and everything they did to help install people and inspire folks and instruct people, you know, as being a black, you know, black person in this world. So the name of my poem is Am I Black Enough? Looking at my skin, thinking deep within, can I even cope or lose hope? If I'm not accepted or that trust the one who's been elected, am I black enough to be accepted by the masses, media, or my classes? Is it in the texture of my hair? Is it in the clothes that I wear? It is the religion that we all share. Am I black enough? Am I black enough to be your friend? Am I black enough to share your life or make you my husband or my wife? We all hold the key to eternal life. Am I black enough? I live in this skin. Black, we all live in this skin. Black or white. But we don't have to treat each other right. We don't treat each other right. God made us all to live among the races. Put no one in control to judge or control. Am I black enough to handle all kinds of stuff? Only God will let us know when enough is enough. Am I black enough? Thank you. And that's my poem.
All right. What a great poem that we had there, Brother Daniel. Thank you for continually to share your poetry with us regarding our Black History Month here. Amen. And we want to thank you for your gift in here. Amen. We're going to take a pause here for a minute. We're going to play some Maya Angelou and her poetry to continue with our Black History Month here. Amen. So our call-in number, once again, that number is 310-982-4126. And the next voice you'll hear will be the gifted and talented Maya Angelou reading her poetry. Amen. So we got it coming up here in just a second here, but we got some great guests coming up each and every week. So we ask you to continue to follow this program, continue to be a part of what we're doing here. Ask you to help change your life in Jesus' name.
President Clinton, all presidents, all excellencies, all friends. I wrote this piece for every human being on earth. We. This people, on a small and lonely planet, traveling through casual space, past aloof stars, across the way of indifferent suns, to a destination where all signs tell us it is possible and imperative that we discover a brave and startling truth. And when we come to it, to the day of peacemaking, when we release our fingers from fists of hostility and allow the pure air to cool our palms, when we come to it, when the curtain falls on the minstrel show of hate, and faces sooted with scorn are scrubbed clean, when battlefield and coliseum no longer rake our unique and particular sons and daughters up with the bruised and bloody grass to lie in identical plots in foreign lands, when the rapacious storming of the churches, the screaming racket in the temples have ceased, when the pennants are waving gaily, when the banners of the world tremble stoutly in the good, clean breeze, when we come to it, when we let the rifles fall from our shoulders, and children dress their dolls in flags of truth, when landmines of death have been removed, and the aged may walk into evenings of peace, when the religious ritual is not perfumed by the incense of burning flesh, and childhood dreams are not kicked awake by nightmares of abuse. When we come to it, then we will confess that not the pyramids with their stones set in mysterious perfection, not the Garden of Babylon hanging as eternal beauty in our collective memory, not the Grand Canyon kindled into delicious color by western sunset, nor the Danube flowing its blue soul into Europe, not the sacred peak of Mount Fuji stretching to the rising sun, neither Father Amazon nor Mother Mississippi, who without favor nurture all creatures in the depths and on the shores. These are not the only wonders of the world. When we come to it, we, this people, on this minuscule and kissless globe, who reach daily for the bomb, the blade, the dagger, yet who petition in the dark for tokens of peace, we, this people, on this moat of matter, in whose mouths abide cankerous words which challenge our existence. Yet, out of those same mouths can come songs of such exquisite sweetness that the heart falters in its labor and the body is quieted into awe. We, this people, on this small and drifting planet, whose hands can strike with such abandon that in a twinkling, life is sapped from the living. Yet those same hands can touch with such healing, irresistible tenderness that the haughty neck is happy to bow and the proud back is glad to bend. Out of such chaos, of such contradiction, we learn that we are neither devils nor divines. When we come to it, we, this people, on this wayward floating body, created on this earth, of this earth, have the power to fashion for this earth a climate where every man and every woman can live freely without sanctimonious piety and without crippling fear. When we come to it, we must confess that we are the possible. We are the miraculous, the true wonder of this world. That is when, and only when, we come to it.
All right, what a beautiful poem there by Maya Angelou. Hey, amen. We're dedicating this month. Portion of our show to her and her poetry. Hey, amen. We got another one coming up here shortly. But Mr. Daniel, what do you have? Brother Daniel.
Yeah, I'm here. Still here.
Last week, y'all did a program honoring couples. Tell us about your program, and have someone would like to see it, how, what would they need to do?
What do you mean by that, though? No, it wasn't for couples. It was just a prayer meeting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was on. We just happened to have it on Valentine's Day that day.
Oh, it just happened to be on Valentine's Day.
It just happened to be on Valentine's that day. You know, but, you know, it kind of, it turned to be a very significant day because a lot of subjects and, you know, a lot of the speakers that what they were saying kind of linked all up together. You know, sometimes, you know, when God send you on a mission and when he tell you to do something, you don't know basically the answer. But he knows everything, and he puts all everybody together. And he basically, you think you're not linking it up right, but really he's linking everything up together to send out a message. And if you were listening to, it's kind of like my live broadcast that I was putting out at the same time before. You heard some of it, didn't you?
Yeah, I sure did. I enjoyed some of it there.
It's
put together something over there. You know, so
yeah.
It truly was a blessing.
Yeah. You know, Rem Lewis, a lot of people today are kind of afraid of the prophetic word because, you know, some people really think that in the days and time that we're living, that God's not still talking to us and instructing us and trying to tell us what he wants us to do. And basically, I can go back to looking at and seeing about some of our current events that we're seeing, that how people are basically revolting and petitioning and having rallies and stuff like that, you know. But at the same time, my God tells me that sometimes you have to be patient and wait on the voice of God to tell you things. And then when he instructs
that's
you to do what he tells you to do, then you go out. And so I'm saying, Rev. Lewis, you know, if this world was like made for everybody and they had a disbelief or they have a disagreement or they didn't accept something, and what if everybody all over the world basically want to go out and protest? You know, I don't like doing this. I don't like you because you black. I don't like you because you're Mexican. I don't like you because you gay. I don't like you because, you know, just look what the mass chaos would go out all around the world. Everywhere, nothing but total chaos. It's simply because people have to learn how to be patient and stand and listen to God. You cannot take things in your own hands. I know everything seems like we're losing hope. We're losing a voice. Nobody's listening to us. The leaders that we put in our offices seem like they don't listen to what we're saying. They're not saying, but I go back to some of the scriptures and what I see that how sometimes God would put some of these people in their offices to be kings over the countries, and they wasn't accepted by the people. But at the same time, that was God's purpose for that certain person to be over at that time.
Oh, yeah, God is in control of everything.
Yeah. He's in control of everything.
Hold that thought right there. We got another poetry coming up here, brother. We're getting ready to get on out of here. Right. Hold that thought there, because we're going to ask some questions regarding what you just shared. Okay, we have another poetry here by Nikki Giovanti. Amen.
So
please enjoy.
Twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? Because I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides, just like hope springing high, still I'll rise. Did you want to see me broken, bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, because I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the hush of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide. Welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gift that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise. I rise. I rise.
To look at love, though, all the versions of love, there is the need to see, love for what might seem to be unlovable. You all know that black Americans for centuries were obliged to laugh when they weren't tickled and to scratch when they didn't itch. And those gestures have come down to us as Uncle Tommy. However, I believe people live in direct relation to the heroes and sheroes they have, always and in all ways. And I don't think we often enough stop to wonder, how did that black man feel when his throat would start to ache? And every person in this auditorium knows that feeling. When you must cry, but you won't, and you hold yourself, and then these muscles get sore. Each time that black man had to say, "Yes, sir, boss, you're right, I must be stupid, yes, sir," so he could make enough money so he could go home and feed somebody. Or that black woman who said, "No, ma'am, Miss Ann, you didn't hurt me when you slapped me. I ain't tender-hearted, sure ain't, no, ma'am." So she could make enough money so she could go home and send somebody to school. I think that we live in direct relation to the heroes and sheroes we have. And sometime, at some place, inside our hearts, we've got to say thank you. Because I don't know about any of you, but I wouldn't be here this evening had those people not been successful in the humiliating employment of those humiliating ploys. Yes, sir. So I honor them, and in honoring them, I honor all our ancestors who tried to stay alive and be somebody so that we could be here this evening and try to accept that we've been loved, each of us, maybe by somebody 3 generations ago who never even thought what name you would carry, that they paid for you already. To look at that condition, I wrote a poem about a woman who is a maid in New York City. She sits at the back of the bus with 2 shopping bags, black. If the bus stops abruptly, she says, "Ah!" If it stops slowly, picks up somebody, misses somebody. I watched her for about 9 months. And I thought, if you don't know black features, you may think that woman is laughing. She wasn't laughing. She was simply extending her lips and making a sound. I thought, oh, I see. That's that survival apparatus at work. So I wrote a poem for her. I use it with Mr. Paul Lawrence Dunbar's poem, Mask, and my own poem for old black men. This is love. When I think about myself, I almost laugh myself to death. My life has been one great big joke, a dance that's walked, a song that spoke. I laugh so hard, I nearly choke when I think about myself. 70 years in these folks' worlds, the child I worked for calls me girl. I say, "Yes, ma'am," for working sake. I'm too proud to bend and too bold to break. So I laugh until my stomach aches when I think about myself. My folks can make me split my side. I laughed so hard, I nearly died. The tales they tell sound just like lines. They grow the fruit, I eat the rind. I laugh until I start to cry when I think about myself and my folks and the little children.
God.
But we wear the mask that grins and lies. It shades our cheeks and hides our eyes. This debt we pay to human guile. With torn and bleeding hearts, we smile and mouth with myriad subtleties. Why should the world be overwise in counting all our tears and sighs? Nay, let them only see us while we wear the mask. We smile, but oh my God, our tears to thee from tortured souls arise. Oh, we sing, hey, baby. The clay is vile beneath our feet, and long the mile. Let the world think otherwise. We wear the mask. My fathers sit on benches. Their flesh count every plank. The slats leave dents of darkness deep in their withered flank, and they nod like broken candles, all waxed and burnt profound. They say, but baby, it was our submission, and that made your world go round. There in those pleated faces, I see the auction block, the chains and slavery's coffles, the whip and lash and stock. My father's speaking voices that shred my fact and sound. They say, but sugar, it was our submission that made your world go round. They laughed to shield their crying. They shuffled through their dreams. They stepped and fetched a country and wrote the blues in screen. I understand that meaning. It could and did derive from living on the ledge of death. They kept my race alive by wearing a mask.
You're just listening to a portion of the poetry of Dr. Miles, a heart-wrenching poetry. That we're going to continue with one more poetry from her, just continue on with Black History Month. We're celebrating the month of February, Black History Month. So we have another poetry coming up here. We pray you enjoy. You'll listen to Free on the Inside, a weekly internet program to encourage you to be all you could be. Enjoy this this poetry from Dr. Miles. And we're looking forward to you being a part of what we're doing. Give us a call. At, you had a number, 310-982-4126.
I've learned a few things. First, I'm aware that I'm a child of God. It's such an amazing understanding to think that the it which made fleas and mountains and rivers and stars made me. What I pray for is humility, to know that there's something greater than I. Then I have to know that the brute, the bigot, and the batterer are all children of God, whether they know it or not. And I'm supposed to treat them accordingly.
And it's hard, and I blew it all the time. Mongrel philosophy. I'd like everybody to think of a statement by Terence. The statement is, I am a human being. Nothing human can be alien to me. If you can internalize the least portion of that, you will never be able to say of an act, a criminal act, or I couldn't do that. No matter how heinous the crime, if a human being did it, you have to say, I have in me all the components that are in her or in him. I intend to use my energies constructively as opposed to destructively. If you can do that about the negative, just think what you can do about the positive. If a human being dreams a great dream, dares to love somebody, if a human being dares to be Martin King or Mahatma Gandhi or Mother Teresa or Malcolm X, if a human being dares to be bigger than the condition into which she or he was born, it means so can you. And try to stretch yourself. So you can internalize, a homo sum humani nihil me alienum puto. I am a human being. Nothing human can be alien to me. That's one thing I'm learning. Part is you, if you teach, you have to live your teaching. You can't say you do not as I do, but do as I say. No. You have to say I'm doing my best to live what I teach. I have a painting by Phoebe of a group that she calls Sister Suki's Funeral. And they all the women, there are about 9 women, and they all look like women in my grandmother's prayer meeting group. So whenever I'm obliged to do something, I take that painting, and I look at that painting. There's an empty chair, and I think, now what would Grandma do? What would she say? I can almost hear her voice say, now, sister, you know what's right. Just do right. You don't really have to ask anybody. The truth is, right may not be expedient. It may not be profitable. But it will satisfy your soul. It brings you the kind of protection that bodyguards can't give you. Try to be all you can be, to be the best human being you can be. Try to be that in your church, in your temple. Try to be that in your classroom. Do it because it is right to do. You see, people will know you, and they will add their prayers to your life. They'll wish you well. I think if your name is mentioned and people say, oh, hell, oh, damn, I think you're doing something wrong. But if your name is mentioned and people say, oh, she's so sweet, he's so nice, oh, I love, oh, God bless her, there you are. So try to live your life in a way that you will not regret years of useless virtue and inertia and timidity. Take up the battle. Take it up. It's yours. This is your life. This is your world. I'll be leaving it long before you, under the ordinary set of circumstances. You make your own choices. You can decide life isn't worth living. And that would be the worst thing you can do. How do you know? So far. Try it. See. pick up the battle and make it a better world. Just where you are. Yes, and it can be better, and it must be better, but it is up to us.
Oh, what a great, what a beautiful poem that we just had there from Dr. Maya. We had three poems by her. One was The Mask. One was just saying, I am human. The other one was saying, just do it. Oh, that's great. And you know what? We're going to end our show by just speaking on that poem there, just do right. I love that. I love that because, you know, we have so many opportunities to do wrong. But sometimes we only have a slight moment to do right. I'm going to Bible land here. When the children of Israel went over to the across the Jordan River over to Jericho, and they spied out the land. The spies was being pursued. They made they way to Rahab house and Rahab shop, and they was hid there for a while. And Rahab saw that these were godly men. She saw that the power would go up on them, and she let them down out of a window. They had a window of opportunity. I like to just tell you that today you have a window of opportunity to change your life. Just do right. By doing right, you can turn a world and a person around from misdeed. James 5:20 said to let them know the errors of their ways and save their soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. We pray that you enjoyed this program. We pray that you've been encouraged by what you heard today. We want to thank Mr. Christopher Holmes for coming in on this morning, sharing his poetry with us, sharing his desire to help change a life. And he gave us some information on how to reach out to him, so we ask you to follow up on it. If you'd like to just go over the show again, you can go back over it again. It'll be posted on our Facebook page, and you too can listen to it again. We also have his website and some information regarding him and what he's doing, so please take advantage of that. And before we get out of here, we have Brother Daniels on the line here. And again, before we bring Brother Daniel back on, we'd like to say thank you to everyone that's support this program. The phone lines are lit up, and they say, just wanted to hear it. And I ask you to go out today and help change a life. In Jesus' name, make a difference. We pray that those poetries by Dr. Maya made an effect in your life, that they encouraged you, you know. And we, you know, she had one poetry that said The Mask. And I got to think, you know, when we were growing up, as I always said, this Uncle Tom, we never know the principle behind that, how this person had to do all these things, you know, in order to feed his family. I get a different perspective on that. As I had relatives and family members that were shining shoes, and I always got to be yes. And here's someone that's at the age of their kids, and they calling them sir and stuff, and how they have to be submissive to things. And you say, oh, you Uncle Tom, but the genesis of that, it allowed me to be where I am today. It allowed me to go to college. It allowed me to be able to have all the rights and privileges that this great country have because of people went before us. Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful. That's powerful to think about that. So be mindful. The rights and privileges you have today, someone else laid the foundation. Someone else laid the groundwork. Someone else went before you, and they took the bruises and the battery and the mistreatment. So you, too, can have rights and privileges that this great country has to offer. Brother Daniel.
Hello.
Yes, sir. We're about ready to get on out of here. Brother, did you enjoy those poetries by Dr. Mayo?
Yeah, I really enjoyed them.
We had three great poems. We had really had four, but, you know, the last three really touched me. It said, The Mask, I Am Human, and Just Do Right. You know, it makes a difference. Brother Daniel, thank you for the poetry that you shared with us. Thank you for your gift, and thank you for continuing to support this program. And looking forward to having another great guest next week and seeing how God is going to use it. We have a few more episodes of 100 Hour Black Men and Women that went before us. So next week we'll do something else. We'll bring some men on, and we'll just talk about we have some black men poetry on that we're going to pull up and just share that with us, you know. I always like Gil Scott. Gil Scott's a little radical, you know, winner in America. But he's a great poet,
He was a great poet. I think sometimes he was a prophet, man.
He
said a whole lot of things about exactly what's happening today.
Yeah, Yeah, I recall once when he said that everybody got a 45 and everybody got a pistol. You know, that's poetry, man, but he put some music behind it.
Hey,
man, yeah, everybody got a gun. You know?
Yeah.
So we might bring
You know what? They got a law now so you can even carry a gun at a college campus now, man.
Yeah, they got different laws and stuff. We'll bring somebody over here to kind of give us some clarity on that. Brother Daniel, we got a few minutes before we get out of here, brother. Thank you for being a supporter of the show. Thank you for being a co-host on the program. And as we get ready to get out of here.
Thank you very much for giving me the chance to do this.
Well, thank you. Would you like to close us out in a word of prayer?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, as we go on to this year, as we go on through the month of February, I ask you to trust the hearts of the people of a country of America. Teach them to learn how to live together. Teach us to live together as one, because God is the creator of this world that we're living in. And he allows us to do things, but he gives us a will to others to know when to say no and yes. No and yes. And so we want to be able to open up our minds and open to perceive what's happening and cleanse us of every herd of an offense, the spirit of offense, basically, that's going across our country today. The spirit of offense, you saying offensive things, you're doing stuff to offend me, because you know that the only offer of disobedience and disaccord is the Satan. He's the author of confusion. And we rebuke him in the name of Jesus. He has no control in our lives, your life, the country life, everybody in the country of America. We ask them to stand up and pray to God that he can find somebody to lead our country. Even if we have to have the one we got there now, we ask God to touch his heart, touch his mind, trouble his sleep at night, so he can understand what he's doing in the situation and the job that he has chose to prove over us. Touch him, Lord, to lead this country. So in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Daniel. Have a great day in the Lord. Amen. You are listening to another great episode of Free on the Inside with Minister Lewis and Brother Daniel. Richard Daniel is our co-host. Looking forward to you joining us again in our virtual studio. Thank you for participating. If you want to go back and hear this show, and any of the shows that's on Blog Talk Network, just go to Facebook page, Lewis, Free on the Inside Lewis, and you can catch all the shows, past and upcoming shows for this program. Thank you very much. Have a great day in the Lord.